You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Big Brother Canada 10 post-season interview. I'm your host, Turner Armstrong, and today I am talking with...
This is Business B. Let's get it.
It's Business B. We're going to be talking with Business B all about her game. This should be a fun one. Hopefully you enjoy it. That's what we got. Of course, we've got more of these coming through the pipeline. But right now we're talking to Business B. So here is Betty. Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry. I was just having some technical difficulties, but we're here.
No worries. it happens. I'm just excited to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. I just actually watched your recap of my game from when I was in the house, and I thought it was actually really good. So thanks so much for doing that.
Thank you. Those are always very fun. They tend to be a lot of work, but they're very fun to do. And I was excited to do yours because I thought you played a very interesting game.
Yeah, it was spot on. I mean, like, you know, me like extending olive branches to all these people and I'm just on them.
Yeah. All right. Well, you ready to go?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. How you doing, Betty?
Yeah, I feel good. I'm grateful to be like back at home and I'm just like, you know, getting used to everything. And it's way easier than I thought it was going to be. A little bit weird, like, but I feel good about being back here. You know, when you're in a all these random people, sometimes you kind of lose yourself. So I'm glad that I'm back doing things that are like, you know, regular to me.
Yeah. Like back to real life, kind of just getting back into the swing of things.
Totally.
Are you back at work already?
Yeah. So I'm back at work. I work remotely, so it's way better. So slowly transitioning. I actually got sick. I don't know, like a bunch of people got sick. My boyfriend got COVID. I didn't for it, but, it's still weird. Just like, you know, I got out of the house immediately, met up with some past house guests, and then all of a sudden Ian got COVID. So it's like, it was annoying, but it's fine. I'm fine.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. It's been going around. Feels like, there's been a big surge of it lately. So, all right. So tell me about your history with Big Brother. How well did you know the show coming in?
Yeah, like I wasn't one of those people that was like, I watched every single season. I watched literally season one of BB Can, season two. I saw season eight, which was like, whatever. And then season nine. And that's why I decided to join. I did watch some early seasons of BB USA. So I obviously saw the most recent one with the cookout. And then I saw some early on, like when I was in high school, like, I don't know how familiar you are, but back in the day with like Janelle and Kaser, like way BB USA, but that was basically it. And then I decided to join the show.
There you go. Yeah. I really enjoyed when Kevin was telling you and Josh about the fan base and the live feeds. And you were just like, man, we're in this house with some freaks.
I actually didn't know. I'm so sorry because I know that you also watch the live streams and I've been getting DMs of people being like, you know, hey, Betty, why were you, you know, being like, I didn't know that it was so popular and people were all about the live stream. So again, I do apologize if I offended anyone. I just didn't know that people were watching us sleep and stuff. Like, that's a lot.
I think it's very understandable to have that reaction, especially like the way that Kevin described it at times. I think there's, I'm sure, a very small percentage of people, but like most people aren't actually watching you sleep. Most people are like, you know, they've got it on. And then if something exciting happens, they'll be like, ooh, this is fun. There's like maybe a small percentage of people that they like watching people like eat and stuff, you know, weird stuff like that. Yeah. But
were you one of those people? Did you watch us eat? Because like, that's okay if you did.
I see that. That was why it was very funny, because Josh was like, I didn't realize people were watching us all the time. I guess I should be cooking more food or something. Yeah. Like, for me, I'm like, Josh, no. Just keep playing the game. That's all I'm interested in.
Got it. Okay. So I do apologize, though, because, you know, sometimes I run my mouth a little bit, and I think that kind of got the best of me at times in the game.
It was maybe, but it was very funny. I enjoyed it. So you come into the game. Now, week one, we actually didn't have feeds, so we don't really have a lot of the details of like what was happening in the game during week one. What was your perspective on, you know, entering the game, these initial alliances, relationships? What was happening for you?
Yeah, like I walked into the house and I was like, oh, okay. I obviously didn't have I did have a big read that there were obviously guys working together. I was must have been aloof because I didn't see Summer and Tanisha part of those alliances at all. So I was just like, oh, okay. So it must just be a guys versus girls type thing. So I was basically just trying to develop connections with people, trying to like, you know, build something for myself. I didn't feel like a strong alignment to anyone in specific. Like I was literally just, I know it sounds like, for lack of better words, just trying to vibe out, suss out how I felt about some folks, and then try to like see if there was any connections that I could develop from there that could get me far in the game. Like I wasn't like outwardly looking for an alliance, which now in hindsight probably would have been the best thing for me, but I really wasn't. I was just trying to connect with people, and Marty actually happened to be one of them in week one, where he was like, yeah, don't worry, I'm not gonna come for you, you're not even
kick your feet up.
Yeah, kick your feet up. Like, and I was like, okay, I took him for at face value in week one, and I literally felt like I had developed good relationships with everyone, that no one was gonna put me up. I also knew Herman like in real life. I knew of him in my community as well as like in the city. He like literally grew up seconds away from me and went to my high school. So we were able to kind of establish that. So I kind of felt some sort of like, okay, he'll protect me. Not protect me, like I don't need anyone to protect me, but like he'll have my best interest at mind. So I felt okay week one. I don't know.
There you go. You had that connection to Herman. You also get included in the Mandem's alliance. It was that sort of like where you felt like your primary interest was, like that was your group.
Totally. And also what had happened was I ended up sleeping in the question mark room. So when I got there, it was almost like everybody that was already in that room was like, okay, we'll have this like unspoken, we've got each other. Summer decided to formalize it with the Mandems, which I was down with. And then it was basically everyone in the red room. We were like, okay, cool, we've got each other's back. And then that's kind of who it was. So myself, Herman, Josh, Tanisha, Summer, Helena. I would say the five of us were like, okay, we're good.
Mm-hmm. The first week, it's pretty straightforward. Kevin ends up on the block, though. For you, was there ever any thought that like, oh, mate, what if we did vote out Kevin?
Yeah, totally. I was like, why are we keeping Kevin in this game? Like, he's out here being like, oh, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, are you guys joking me? Like, this guy knows what he's doing. And I kept trying to put feelers out. But I think it was Tanisha that was like, oh, no, he he needs our help. And I was like, okay, like maybe. And Melina was like extremely standoffish in these moments, so you guys didn't get to see that in the live streams. Like, she was just like gone in, and obviously she was feeling nervous and everything, but she had completely isolated herself from conversations entirely. So it was kind of like, either we're gonna save Kevin, this guy who obviously doesn't need saving, or we're going to try and build something with someone who isn't talking with anyone. So I kind of just was like, fine, I'll be a follower, and followed the troops and was like, okay, fine, we'll vote out Melina.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to ask, have you watched the episodes yet? I think I heard you have.
Yeah, I watched them all.
The whole season.
I watched the whole season except for the last episode, the season finale. It's a little,
yeah,
it's a little. So I'll get to it at a later date.
When you're ready. That's it's understandable. But yeah, I did. I liked because I've got sound clips that I used throughout the podcasting season. I pulled sound clips from the episodes. And you have a lot of my favorites. You said this about Kevin later on, but it was very true of you for the whole season.
I think Kevin is a much bigger problem than I thought.
Yeah.
He was. He ended up winning. I mean,
this is one Kevin said early on that I used throughout the whole season.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Sorry, he would say that all the time.
Some of my co-hosts hated that clip and some of them loved it. It was a very mixed reaction.
That's funny. That one was definitely a very, very on brand for Kevin.
Yeah. All right. So Melina is evicted. Week two, Marty wins the HOH. This is when things really start to go wrong for your game. Because first of all, he's targeting Jay, and you liked Jay. You actually were trying to get some votes to keep Jay around prior to Jace winning the veto. In part, this is how Marty starts to feel like, oh, well, Betty's close to Jay. Maybe I should put Betty up. But as I talked about in some of these game recaps, Kevin was supposed to be the renom when Jace wins the veto, and he's able to really talk to a bunch of people, get into Marty's head, and you don't want to put me up on the block. They're going to flip on me. And instead, he doesn't specifically target you, but you are the sort of the easiest person to throw up there because of how close you are to Jay, and that Marty's suspicious that you might be working with Summer and Tanisha. And so you end up on the block, and you're blindsided because Marty did not tell anybody, or did not tell you at least.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I know Marty, Marty took Kevin for a beer because he was HOH. So he got beers that week or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I just remember Kevin going into that room and being kind of like, and then leaving and being all like, and being like, what's going on? I just immediately knew something was going on. So I think that's when I called him out about it and was just and he was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. But really, in my gut, I knew that he knew exactly what was going to happen. And that's kind of how it played out for me that week. Marty was like, yeah, kick your feet up. Actually, psych, don't kick your feet up. You're going on the block.
Yes, this is the this is when we get this.
I do hate you.
And then a little bit later we got,
you told me I was a terrible person.
Yeah, and I meant that.
Sorry. Kevin seems to have gotten a lot of the brunt of my feelings towards him, but I'm glad that.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out for him, so I think it's fine, right?
Totally, yeah, it did work out for him.
There's I don't know if it made the episodes, but the second time the you did call me a terrible person when you said take your anger out on me, you know, and he's trying to make it we'll maintain this public image essentially. And you were like, I'm just going to tell everyone you just said that. And then he's like, well, then you're my target. After that, he goes and he talks to you outside and you're like, why are you following me? And then he goes into the hot tub, hallway area.
Yeah.
And you're out there still it's actually, if somebody can clip this for you from the feeds, it's pretty great. Cause you can still hear your audio while we're on Kevin outside, just outside the door. And you're this guy, he's so annoying. And Kevin's like, Betty, I'm trying to help you. What are you doing?
I remember that. I don't actually remember him saying that though, that he was trying to help me.
He said it to the cameras. Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty funny though. So, obviously, you're annoyed at Kevin for avoiding the block here, and you going up instead. You're also annoyed at Marty because he told you to kick your feet up. And this is the first. You were the first kick your feet up victim.
I was the first, but I wasn't the last.
No, definitely not. So you end up doing pretty well, and this is something that I commented on, that like when you do have your back against the wall, you do tend to like really pull it out, and you do a great job of campaigning. Obviously Jay was the target anyway, but you do start to notice like these guys are working together, and you're trying to sort of like build some momentum. You're talking to some of the women in the game, but unfortunately for you, obviously Summer and Tanisha were working with some of them, so it wasn't playing out super well. And you head into the next week where Kyle wins the HOH, and yeah. And this is really when we thought it was going to be over for you.
Same. I really thought it would be over. He told me twice I was going on the block. Literally pulled me into the HOH room and was like, it's gonna be you. And I was like, okay. And then it wasn't.
Twice.
Literally. He gave me this like big snazzy speech about like, I don't even remember. And then he doesn't put me up. And I was like, is this guy okay? Like, it's so weird. I couldn't even remember. Like, yeah, but that definitely happened. I thought my game was gonna be over week three.
Yeah, I think my favorite part was you go in, I think the first night, and you give a campaign. He's like, let me think about it. And then the next day he comes to you. He's like, all right, look, you're going to go up on the block. And you're like, well, that sucks. And at the end of the conversation, he's like, hug it out. You're like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I'm like, why would I hug you? You literally just told me I was going on the block for absolutely no reason. Now you want to hug?
Yeah.
Yeah, no way.
So for the second week in a row, you're blindsided at a ceremony, but this time for good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because not many people, it's a pretty rare experience to be blindsided with not going on the block. What is the feeling?
Like, it felt really good because I was like definitely under the impression that I was going on the block. So it felt good. But then I got this vibe that Kyle wanted me to be like thanking him, like, oh my God, you saved my game. Like, you know, and then that would kind of lure me to start working with him or have some sort of indebted like obligation to him. And that obviously wasn't going to happen. So I was just like, okay, thanks. And I was still kind of pissed because it seemed like everybody in the house knew I wasn't going up except for me. So I was like, I'm still coming for you, but thank you from a distance.
Yeah.
So that was look on it.
It's like you saved me from danger that you put me in. Like, that's
exactly my thoughts on it. I was like I'll shake your hand, you know, maybe I think I may have given him a hug, but I was still kind of like, this guy is volatile, like you don't know what his next move could be, and clearly we didn't.
Mm-hmm. That's of course, you know, this is the week where we saw this happen from Kyle.
My degree is not in English, it is in sport media.
So funny. I actually just saw that in the episodes and I was like, oh my God. So funny.
Oh man. It's that whole week was a wild ride. You guys really, you kept me working hard because I don't really care about the eating and the sleeping and all of that. Usually by like the halfway point in the season, like yeah. My job is very easy. Like there's only so much game talk happening. But you guys, you just kept going and going, and Kyle really, really was the biggest defender there.
Was that your favorite week to watch on TV?
I mean, it was at the time, and then like then we had like so many other, like the gummy bear situation. We had like your HOH week. Like there were a lot of really like when you flip Josh back over and it's like, whoa. And then, man, I wish we'll talk about the final three situation. We didn't see that on the feeds either. So, but yeah, week after week, it was just like, there was always something wild going on. But this was probably the most wild in terms of just like, hour after hour, the plan was changing. So you get told again that you're going up when Moose wins the veto.
Yeah.
Actually,
Kyle told me that I needed to win the veto mm-hmm. in order to, he told me if I don't win the veto, then something about like, he doesn't think then it's going to basically prove to the house that I don't actually deserve to be here. Something along those lines. He said something ridiculously dumb to me. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, and I have no other choice but to put you up once Moose wins. And I was like, okay. Anyway, so that I just want to be clear that he said that to me.
Yeah, no, that was kind of a narrative and I don't think that it was super widespread, but there were people and Kyle was I think the biggest offender in this who like, I'm not going to waste an HOH on Betty.
Yeah.
And this idea that like, you know, and this happens unfortunately a lot where somebody goes up early as a pawn and then they just kind of become the pawn of the season and people don't respect their games as much. And you kind of get put in this position.
Right.
What like how do you overcome that? Because you ultimately do, and that's like it's pretty rare that somebody gets out of that position. Both you and Kevin managed to do it in my eyes. So what is the feeling, and how do you get out of that?
Honestly, there's always this like narrative in the beginning of the game, and I mean like especially for our season, it's like either you're winning comps or you're useless. And unfortunately, it's usually stems from like, you know, that like alpha male dominated like, oh, beat my chest, look at me. So I mean, what I had to do is really not let it phase me in the beginning, and I just had to continue to do what I like needed to do, which was connect with people. I needed to make sure that I was playing this social game that wasn't just like, you know, I'm gonna promise you a week of safety, when unfortunately I hadn't been winning competitions to show people that I could guarantee them a week of safety. Like I had to literally have conversations with people like, and show value in any way that I could, which meant like, okay, I've been on the block. I'm not really that worried about it. Maybe I can offer you like, I'll go on the block instead of you. Or maybe I will make sure that I'll vote in your way the next week. Or do you know what I mean? It basically just catered to whatever I thought that they needed that could show value. And that actually worked for me. I actually also got close with Kevin. So like not close with him. I would never say that he was my ally in this game or anything, but like, you know, as long as I was showing that I was not a threat to his game at all, like I obviously felt like it was working for me a little bit in the beginning. Obviously I figure out in the end that he was obviously throwing my name under the bus a bunch of times, which is fine. But like, you know what I mean? Just making sure that I'm not a threat, that I can be of value to people, and then just making sure that they see that in me and that they can maybe overlook me and try to get out more of these bigger players. Like I was always kind of pitching someone bigger, like always pitching Gino or Marty or pitching Kyle or just like, do you know, like don't waste your HOH on me. You know, I kind of played into that narrative a little bit too. And I think that also helped me.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think this is also the week that we got my favorite clip from you, which is
this is Business B. Let's get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Business B. That's actually who I am in my real life, like my professional life. So I just tried to use it in the game.
See, that's so so that was the thing for me, because I'm pretty sure you said that during the B competition.
Yeah.
And so at first I thought you were just making a pun. But then Ian used Business B in his message to you. Yeah. And I was like, oh, is this like a thing? And he actually messaged me. He was like, it's a real thing. Like, that's who she is.
It is. It's because I work in business and Business B gets shit done. Like, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And I love how it was received so well by the public. Like, I love it. By the fans, I should say.
Mm. Well, there was Business B and there was also Petty Betty.
Petty Betty loves a good show.
Excuse me. Yeah. That's definitely Betty too.
It's the two sides of the Betty coin. Totally. Business being Petty Betty. The rest of the week goes pretty well, actually, because Kyle messes up. He puts up Josh, thinking that Josh will leave, but the votes are there to flip the house against Steph. So you got to see the very funny.
You really suck at lying.
Jace confrontation with Kyle. Yeah.
That was quite funny, because I was like I remember that they were like having like a moment upstairs, but I was just like so relieved that Josh was safe, and I was like, and I was kind of like Petty Betty wanted. Because Kyle, like, I don't know if you guys saw in the episode, I'm sure he did, where his face, like, went completely ghost. I thought that was so funny. Like, I just wanted him to go and, like, deal with all of the mess that he had made. So, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. So, you go into the next week, and Gino wins the HOH. And this is the week where, you know, he was, again, thinking of potentially targeting you or Tanisha. But ultimately he is convinced to put Kyle on the block, and you were involved in that plan. And you also, I think, were the biggest person, like beating the drum of like, thanks, Gino. I mean, I'm still going to target you next week, but thank you.
Yeah, I know. I definitely was grateful. Like, I don't know, the episode didn't quite show it, but I was actually the first person in Gino's HOH room, because I was like, oh, well, I got to get to business. Like, he's closest with Marty and Kyle. Like, obviously, I'm going to go up. So I was like, he was like, I don't know if you guys saw, he had that like gummy bear thing where he was like, oh, asking us a series
right,
of questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he asked like why we deserve to be here. And I was and then he asked like just some other questions I can't quite recall. And then he was like, who would you put up? And I was like, obviously Kyle, like, duh. But and Summer obviously had more of a relationship with Gino, so she probably influenced that decision more, and that's fine. But I definitely was like one of the first people to be like, put up Kyle. Like, it makes the most sense. And then he puts up Marty, which also made sense. But then later when I watched the episodes, it looked like it was just this big like facade.
Yeah, he said it was for optics, so that people would see that this is what happens when you turn on Gino, you get put up on the block. But he didn't actually want Marty to leave.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't quite get that. I was like, oh, okay. So we ended up getting Kyle out. But even after he got Kyle out, Gino was still going to be someone I wanted to get out of this game. But this was like before I realized what type of player Gino was, because I had just grouped him with like Marty and like the guys. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I was grateful that he got rid of Kyle. Like, are you kidding me? That was amazing.
You also get pulled into the siblings at the end of the week. And I know that you were very much like, what even is this? Who's even in this alliance?
Yeah. So honestly, Summer and Tanisha came up with siblings. Like, I had an okay relationship with Jess in the house. Like, I had nothing wrong. Like, I thought that they were a good player and like we actually got along just like as human beings. And then when they were like, one day Jess was like, yeah, sibs. And I was like, you are not my sibling. Like, I don't understand what you're saying to me. And then they were like, the alliance. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, so I went back to Summer and Summer's like, oh yeah, you're in this. And I didn't quite feel right about it because like, you know, I wasn't a part of it in the beginning. And then, you know, but I obviously just agreed to it because I was obviously a lone wolf. So I was like, okay, let me just do this. And then they ended up winning Power the next week. So I was like, oh, okay, this probably is in my best interest to be a part of this. It ended up being fake anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Jess wins the HOH, and this is the week where you get involved in this like discussion with Jess and Moose, because Jess tells you that Moose said that, I don't even remember the specifics, but I think they showed all of the interactions on the episode actually, except for the actual confrontation. But like Moose had pitched your name, and he had maybe said that you. Or implied that you don't deserve to be there, that you're like, oh, whatever. And so you sort of like have this thing. And at first you're kind of like, okay, Jess is telling me the truth, but then you're like, maybe they aren't. Walk me through that whole situation.
Yeah. So me and Jess had a reasonably okay relationship and they were like, I'm not going to put you on the block. Don't worry. You're safe with me. And then they were like, Moose says you don't deserve to be here. And I was like, I don't deserve to be here. Like, and that, like, you know, you're floating around, you haven't done anything in this game, like just a bunch of bullshit. And I was like pretty pissed because I thought I had a really good relationship with Moose. So Jess was like, don't tell anyone. And I'm like, I have no loyalties to you, Jess. Like, I'm going to tell, like, why are you even putting these in my head? Like, it almost felt like they were trying to brainwash me or something. So I was like, you know what? The best way to get to the bottom of this is go to the source. So I ended up calling out Moose. Obviously, it was a little spicier than I had wanted. And then Moose, okay, whatever. I had my moment. Me and Moose ended up talking about it. What actually happened was Moose was like, I'm not going to talk to Jess unless I have a witness present. So for the remainder of the game, that's what Moose did. And I was like, he's really taking this like to the next level, hey? And Moose was like, no, there's absolutely no way. They're putting words in my mouth and they are like trying to pin people against each other. So after seeing this, like, and it had been a day, and you know, the Big Brother house, like a day is like a week. So like a week of like, how do you say, like a week of, sorry, one day of having like a witness in front of all their conversations. Like, I was like, that's kind of suspect. So I talked to Moose about it and he was like, no, dude, that didn't happen. Basically what I said was I pitched that you should go on the block, and that's fine. Like, that's a big part of the game. People go on the block. It's not a big deal. But Jess obviously had manipulated the conversations to get a rise out of me. And I figured that out later. So that's kind of clearing the air about that.
Yes, I did clip the, I'm sure you've seen it a couple of times, cause I think it was part of the awards show thing, but, this was a good one.
So don't pitch my name. That's rude.
Okay.
And I won't stand for it.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And I don't want to talk to you either.
I'm sorry. Right.
Don't be sorry. Just like, don't say my name unnecessarily.
I love Moose in that clip. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Sorry, Moose. Sorry, Moose.
Oh man. Okay. So then Tanisha goes on the block. Obviously, yeah. That's not ideal. And then this is the week where things really get a little wonky, because Kevin's doing a lot in the background. Not only is he sort of influencing Jess's nominations while pretending to be like, oh, it might be me. But he's also working on Josh. And this is the week here on around day 31, or so, that he pitches the crash test dummies idea to Josh. Hey, you'll know about the Tanisha blind side, but you can pretend to still be in with them and vote with them. But really you'll be with me and Helena. and yeah. we'll work this whole thing. So you've obviously been pretty close with Josh to this point. I think you get even closer with him after this point. As the season goes on, you get closer and closer. Did you ever have any suspicion that like maybe his loyalty is not really with me?
No, that's what like, I know it's just a game and it's like, I'm over it kind of, but like, no, I had absolutely no idea. Like, I knew he was close with Kevin, but I never knew that it was at that type. I never knew it was to that degree. Like, I didn't know that they had an alliance, like, at all. I thought that it was like me and Josh as independent players. Like, I had no idea. So good on them. Like, that was awesome. I had no clue.
Yeah. And it seemed to me, and I think we mentioned this when I was doing the initial interview with you and Josh, that, that my read on Josh and Kevin's relationship is that he was kind of like the devil on Josh's shoulder. And he was really just like playing up like the fun of playing the game and lying and, you know, being manipulative and like, won't it be so fun when there's a blind side, right? Like, it's chaos, like, come to me for chaos. And Josh would say to Kevin, you're the only person I feel like I can talk to, like, on this level of like, we're talking about like the game in this way. Right. I guess did you know that Josh had that side of him that side of him that wanted to be a little more devious, or did you not see that?
No, like, honestly, I didn't know that Josh was the actual villain of the season. I had no idea. Like, when Josh and I would have conversations, it would be about like how this game doesn't necessarily need to be played in such a shitty way. Like, we would always reference the trapdoor from season 9, and we would always say like, why did that have to go down? Like, people can actually play this game and be honest to a certain degree. And like, he was almost like, I felt like he was an angel. Like, I felt like we were bringing out the best in each other. I know, and it sounds awful to say, but that was always my read on Josh. And I think that's why I felt so good being so comfortable with him, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, finally somebody who is looking to play an honest game and like, you know, like, honest-ish. And then I saw the season and I was like, wow, that wasn't real. Like, this guy's actually the villain. And it's okay. It's just a game.
So what is it about Josh then? Cause like, is it like, cause he's very soft spoken, and he's like, I think he is like probably in real life, a very sweet guy. But what is it about him that he's able to sort of like, make people feel that way when, you know, the truth might be something else?
Yeah, you know what? You nailed it. He's just a very soft-spoken person. And he's always like, even in conversations we would have that weren't game related, he was very much so like the person that would be like rooting for the underdog, like the one that wanted to separate themselves from the masses. Or like, you know, he would always like say, I might be a strong male, but I'm not an alpha male. And like, if you know me, that's like the number one way to like become friends with me. I'm like, really? And just like very much so like, I'm rooting for the, like I said, the underdog. Like, I want to make sure that, you know, people that may not necessarily have a chance in this game can get far. Like, you know, like, I want to make sure I'm taking out heavy hitters. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he would really embed that in your brain, like, for me anyway, and just make me believe like, oh my gosh, like, you know, he'd always say like, everyone's underestimating you. Like, you go out there and you show them I have your back. And to me, like, that's how I felt like, wow, this is so much more than just a game. Like, this is an actual friendship being formed in the house where we like have each other. And yeah, so that's why I think for me, it was really easy to get close with him. And he did the same thing with everyone else. He's a great listener. So people were like projectile vomiting all of their like gameplay or their personal lives or like anything that they could to him. And it really felt like a safe place with him. Obviously that's all bullshit, but like during the time it really did feel like, and that's why I think that there was such a bitter jury too, because you can't be playing with people's emotions like that. You know, it's not good. And obviously it didn't work well for him either.
Yeah. So where are you at now with that? Because like, do you feel like it was all fake, or do you feel like part of it was genuine? Like, do you know, do you still feel like I'm not sure? Like, where are you at with it?
Yeah. Like, you know what? These people, like, I feel like the people, like, how do I say this? This game, I met people in this game And that's the only reason that I know them. Like, outside of this house, like, there's no real reason for me to connect with these people, especially Josh. Like, I didn't know you before the game and I don't know you after the game. So that's just how it is. None of it was real. It was all bullshit. Like, it's not a big deal. I got played and like, I had a lot of fun in the game, but like, there's absolutely no way I'm looking to like start a friendship outside of this house or sorry, outside of the game with Josh. That's for sure.
There you go. Okay. So, the blind side goes through. It's a 5-4 vote. How are you feeling when that happens? Because you've been blindsided by going up on the block. You've been blindsided by not going up on the block. This is the first time the vote has blindsided you, right? So, what's the feeling?
Yeah, it was awful. I knew Helena was going to flip, but I didn't quite know. And then after when the vote came out, I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what's going on in this game anymore. So yeah, it was a shocker. And I just felt like I had to recalibrate my game immediately because now T was gone. I was like, okay, we got to go. Like, it's go time.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, Tanisha leaving was a little bit beneficial to you in the sense that it kind of opened Summer up a bit more and made some people a little bit more reliant on you in the group and less reliant on some of their other relationships. Right. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like you're losing a number that was on your side. So did you look at it that way at all? Or were you just kind of just like, oh, this sucks?
Yeah, I looked at it as it sucked because Tanisha was like, Tanisha never even got the opportunity to play in a lot of competitions. And I knew that like she was down to like win and play. So like her leaving, I was like, oh my God. Cause in that moment too, all I was thinking about was comps. So I was like, I just lost someone strong that would definitely ride out for me. Yeah. So I was pissed. I was more pissed at Jess, to be honest. But at the time I was like, okay, I just felt shitty. I wasn't even thinking about my own game. I was just thinking like, oh, this sucks so bad for me. But then all of a sudden it was chain of safety. So I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Go. So chain of safety happens. Josh chooses you to be safe. You choose Summer. Summer chooses Kevin. Did you feel weird about that? Or were you like, that's fine?
I did feel weird about it because I was like, why are you picking Kevin? Like, you could have picked, I know that we were kind of on the outs with Helena, but I know probably Helena would have picked Kevin anyway, but at least we would have, in my mind, it was like, we need to get rid of Marty. So I knew that Kev was going to pick Marty and it just like didn't seem right to me. But at the same time, we still had an opportunity to get Gino out, which was fine.
Yeah, so tell me about that, because obviously this is a big moment in the season, and we saw it play out in the episode where Kevin had kind of tried to pitch it to Marty, and Marty had shot it down initially, but then you and Josh were talking about it, you approached Kevin about it, and they're like, okay, well now if Josh and Betty are on board, maybe we can get Marty, and you're all in that room together. Kevin's given all kinds of thumbs ups. Yeah. And then you sit back down on the couches and you're seeing Marty looking nervous and you back out. That's sort of the understanding that I have.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Like, we were in that room. No one's giving each other a thumbs up. Like, I was like, Marty is already kind of my arch nemesis in this game. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, thumbs up. Are we doing this? Helena didn't give a thumbs up. Kevin did. Josh didn't. Marty didn't. And I was like, okay, this will get put on me. Like, I just knew it. And I knew if we didn't have the votes, like, I was putting my game in danger. And yeah, I did kind of chicken out a little bit. I know it probably would have been a power move. But in that moment, I was like, if Marty's not giving the go ahead, he's already good with the other side. Like, you know what? I just think we should back out because this will probably be beneficial for me. Cause then I could be like, look, Gino, this and this happened. And I was really the one that called it off. Like, I thought I was going to be in good standing with Gino after it. I didn't think me not doing it, my whole game was going to get like, you know, everybody was blaming me. Like, I got on the block, Marty with his like big, ridiculous speech. Like, yeah. So anyway, if I would have had my time back, I probably would have done that, but it's okay. It is what it is.
Yeah. So afterward, the vote, because Marty ends up voting that way. Helena ends up voting that way, thinking the plan is still on. And it was interesting because like we saw the like interrogation after on the episodes, but the feeds weren't back up yet for that. By the time the feeds come up, you know, Marty's like, they trapped me, they tricked me. And Kevin's like, yeah, I don't know what they were doing. That Betty and Josh, more Betty than Josh, but and it's like, how did this land on them? And you know, obviously part of it is that Kevin and Helena were kind of like working together to make sure the blame was on the two of you more so. And Marty also keeps saying like, I blacked out. I don't even remember what happened. And and so it kind of opens the door a little bit to create a narrative. But so what was happening there after the vote goes down? Two votes go the other way. Marty's pissed. People are being questioned. Tell me the story.
Yeah, like I basically, everybody's like walking around trying to figure out who these two votes are. Honestly, I'm thinking to myself, why is Gino making such a big deal about this? Like, you're safe and you're safe by 7 votes. Like, to me, it just seemed like such a waste of time, but they were all turning it into something so much bigger. Then Gino like wants to be like a big dad and he brings us all into a room and he thinks that he's actually going to get to the bottom of it this way. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll entertain it. Because again, now there's a huge target on my back because they're all trying to pin it on me. I knew from the second I got in there that it was Helena. Like, her whole body language was just like off. And I was like, you're lying. And then Kevin was like, she's not lying. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what's going on, but I do know that it wasn't me. And something fishy is happening between these people. And Gino always talks about having such a good read on people and like whatever he says. And he couldn't even pick up on that. Cause I remember talking to him and being like, yo, I really do think it was Helena. And he's like, no, there's no way. She would have no reason to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, of course she would. You do nothing for her game. Like, you know what I mean? But anyway, at the end of the day, no, like they still were blaming me for it. I think that me and Gino had an okay conversation about it, but I still ended up going on the block that week, despite how many times I tried to convince people that it wasn't me that voted. But yeah, it is what it is now. So
yeah. And so this is also, you know, the portion of the game where Herman has started to really be like, all right, Summer, Betty, they're not doing anything for me. They're not winning competitions. And he really goes hard to try to win over Gino and Jace. And so it, like, you got Herman throwing you under the bus. You got Josh, who's like, yeah, it was Betty. You got Kevin and Helena, who are like, yeah, Betty was doing it. And you got Marty, who's like, this week is all about revenge. if I have one word, it would be revenge.
Yeah, the revenge for 2022, starring Marty.
it's a rough week for you. You end up on the block, and you're the target. And the idea is that if you remain up there, you could be in some deep trouble. Yeah. And the veto competition also very close here. It's nominize is if Gino wins that veto, I don't know what happens here.
I would have been out for sure, hands down. It would have been me.
Yeah, well, it's Kevin's gonna win it, and he has been wanting Herman out for a little while, so he is going to use the veto on Josh and work on making sure that Herman goes up next to you. I imagine at this point you're just in self-preservation mode. You're like, look, anybody that'll leave next to me, I'm good with.
Totally. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't hard campaigning against Herman. I didn't know that he was like starting a smear campaign about me like during that time. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to keep it clean. So I tried to not like campaign too aggressively against him. But then later when I had found out like, oh yeah, he's saying that you can't win anything, I was like, okay, well, are you going to believe this salesman or what? And I think helped my game a little bit. And also just, again, I was really pushing the fact, like, do you guys really want this strong competitor who literally has a path of winning this game? As soon as you started telling people that someone was going to win this game, I felt like you really were in good standing and they wanted to keep you more than they did the other person. So that's kind of what I did. I was a little shocked that Summer turned her back on me,
But I mean, at the end of the day, she was going to do what the house was going to do. And I'm sure it was evident in the episodes as well.
Yeah. So, so there's a couple of interesting things here post veto, right? So, one is that, you have this little sort of interaction with Josh where, you kind of catch him in a little lie, that he knew about the Herman back door, but he kind of pretended like he didn't. And then you kind of question him about it the next day. And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. I got confused and I lied. You're like, OK, just don't do it again. And from my perspective, watch, I was like, oh, this is just a small taste of what might come later. Right. And I wonder if Betty will remember this in the future, if it does, in fact, happen again, that she catches one of his many lies. Is that something that stood out at the time, or did it just feel like nothing?
That lie, it's so interesting you bring that up. You know what? I literally thought that when he said sorry to me, because he also finessed it with like, we're best friends. Like, you know, I just wanted to make sure I was keeping a secret. You know, I would never turn my back on you, bestie. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's no problem. So I did kind of forget about it because I was like, why would he do it again? Little did I know.
Yeah. So you're also on the block against Herman. He makes a big push to stay. You talked about this. He ends up convincing Summer to keep him. And he also gets Jace and Gino convinced as well that first night. And it's really like it was so interesting because it was such a big ordeal to get Herman on the block. And then once he goes up, it was like, there he goes. And then that very night, he's got the votes and it's like, whoa, boy. And then it's like, OK, next day, the Empire Strikes Back. Betty, Kevin and Josh get to work. And you make some great campaigns. And again, like I think I talked about this, like really being one of your high points in the game, where you not only sort of overturn these votes, but you also make a pitch to Jace and Gino that you, Josh and the two of them should make a final four.
Yeah. I did do that. And because I've been on the block so many times, I knew that Herman was going hard, like on Monday, like he was talking to people. And I was like, that's not a vibe. Like, you need to do it later in the week because you want to make sure that whatever you're saying is sticking to these people, like in their head. And you want to make sure you're having meaningful combos. So yeah, when I asked for a ceasefire with Gino and Jace, and I also put Josh into it, and they were like all for it. They were like, yeah, let's do this. We'll keep you. And I was like, and I literally made them believe like we'll have the votes. Like, if we keep moving forward, we'll have four votes versus, you know, I think there was like, I don't know, maybe three other people. I can't remember what it was, but we would be the majority essentially. And they were all for it. My biggest mistake was telling Josh about this because he went and told his little crew. And that
so I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
Oh, I know. It's like, why would you do that to me? Like, this was going to benefit you as well, but hey, it's the game.
Yeah, certainly if you listen to my game recap, you know this is really where I felt like you had the ability. You were like, you were there at the cusp of taking kind of the reins of the game here, and then those reins were kind of just handed back to Kevin when he found out. So that's not great. But you're still in a pretty good spot here. So one of the things that I thought was interesting, that I wanted to ask about was that, I think it was the following morning after you had made the deal with, Jason Gino, you said Kevin, I took your advice. I approached Jason Gino about working together, like being in a whatever, right? What was that? Did he give you the idea? Were you just kind of like, you know, appealing to his ego? Like, what was that?
No, so I didn't actually tell him that I had decided to work with Gino and Jace. I had basically played it out to Kevin that me and Gino don't talk any game at all. And he was like, you should go and try and talk to Gino. Like, this will be in your benefit. So what I wanted to do was basically let Kevin know, like, hey, I'm actually taking your opinions like at face value. Like, I actually want you to think that what you're giving me in terms of advice I'm using. Like, I really didn't care, but I wanted Kevin to think like, oh yeah, you may have a little hold on me, because that makes me seem less threatening to his game. So little did I know that he knew everything that I was doing on the side. I just wanted him to believe like, oh, like Betty actually is taking me seriously. Like, she's taking my advice. Like, you know, basically it was just so that I wouldn't be a threat to him, so that he could, you know, like, not, I never wanted to work with Kevin, but I always wanted to make sure we were in good standing. So that was kind of my 2 cents on that.
No. And I think that, you know, that making sure that you were in good standing was a key element to your game, considering the amount of influence that Kevin ultimately has on the game. That he does feel like he has, obviously, like, you know,
I do hate you.
That happened. But he does feel like there's still something there. And I think also, obviously, you know, feeling like he has Josh, there's a big safety blanket there. But I think it is little things like this that contribute to his ultimate overconfidence during your HOH week, which we'll get to. And I thought was super interesting about this particular interaction is that was a staple of Kevin's game, to go to people and be like, I took your advice. And so you kind of turned it around on him there, which was pretty fun.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We get into the following week where Gino wins the HOH. And this is the week where, you know, he's telling everyone other than Marty and Kevin and Helena, Marty is the target. Marty's the backdoor target. And he was, and that was great. And if that had gone through too, like, you're in a pretty good spot. And you were talking to Josh about, like, this is perfect. Once they take out Marty, we can turn on them, and then we're in a great spot, and that would have been great. But unfortunately, Helena wins the veto, and between her and Kevin, they're able to again kind of like convince Jace and Gino like it's not worth making the move. So even though Jace gets that secret power veto, she doesn't use it.
Right. Right. Ugh. So that was such an annoying week.
Yeah. and you are also considering the idea of keeping Moose over summer. That's when we got the
Petty Betty loves a good show.
That clip. Because Summer was not super keen on keeping you the previous week, so
I felt like Summer was just so well insulated in this game. Like, obviously love her as a person, but I was like, who don't you have like deals with? Like, Marty basically kicked you out of his room the week before, and like all of a sudden now you're working with him. Like, to me, I just felt like it was only going to be a matter of time before Summer turned. So Moose, on the other hand, you know, he had proven that he could win comps. He had basically told me that he would go after Marty. I was like, why wouldn't we keep someone that will literally go after our, you know, I wouldn't say enemies, but like people in this game that are actually serving us no purpose. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of going after Marty, going after Gino, like, to me, that made the most sense. But no one else was down. So I was like, am I going to be doing this by myself? Like, obviously not. So I had to like back out of that plan. But of course, I wanted Moose to stay over summer. It just made the most sense to me in that moment. But obviously, I may work, but Kevin was working 10 times harder. So here we are.
Yeah. So that week ends with Marty winning the following HOH. But just to talk a little further on the secret veto stuff. So in the next week, Jace is going to tell Marty about the secret veto as a way of being like, look, we never planned to backdoor you. I had the secret power veto. This is the proof. And that helped Jace and Gino stay off the block and stay, you know, away from being targeted initially. And then Gummy Bears had something else to say about it.
Yeah.
But it then it was a double-edged sword because then Kevin and Helena also find out about it. And they are going to use this information to try and prevent you and Jace from kind of reconciling it all. Because when Josh and Gino both end up on the block, there are some conversations where it's like, hey, one of us is about to lose our number one. Maybe we can work together moving forward. But Kevin and Helena are going to tell this story that that the plan was never Marty. It was Josh all along that would have been backdoored if the veto was used. And the proof is that Jace had that secret veto. And this ends up following all the way through to your HOH when you are, you know, trying to determine essentially if you can trust Jace moving forward, and you have a conversation with her and she doesn't tell you about the secret veto. You have to ask her about it. And her response is kind of like, oh, you knew about that.
Like, yeah. So that's all it really took for me in that moment. If Jace would have just been like, hey, this is what I've got going on. Like, it's day 55 at that point too. Like, I obviously can't trust anyone because I had just been put up in the triple by Josh. So I was like, okay. So when I decided to talk with Jace, I really just needed her to be honest with me. And I felt like the conversation wasn't honest. Like, she was telling me she was going to go after Helena and Kev. I know that, like, I get it. But what I really needed from her in that moment was her to be like, I have the secret power of veto. This is why I didn't use it. So when she didn't say that to me, I was like, okay, what else are you hiding from me? You know what I mean? So that's why it was so hard for me to trust her. And she was also a very strong competitor. So I was thinking, okay, if I'm going to get to the end, am I really going to go up against someone who works ridiculously well under pressure and like has been pulling out these veto wins like absolutely no tomorrow? To me, it just made the most sense to get Jace on the block. And if Josh went home that week, obviously it would have sucked, but it is what it is. So yeah, that's kind of where I was at with that.
So what was your reaction when you first heard this this story? Because like part of the effectiveness of it is that it is very believable, because the reality wasn't very believable, right? Like that they were planning to backdoor Marty and then changed their minds when they had a secret power of veto. Like that is a weird, like even knowing what happened, it's kind of like hard to explain exactly why it happened. So, you know, hearing the alternative version of events kind of like, oh, that makes a little more sense in terms of like actually following a through line.
Yeah. I don't actually know. Like, I just, like, to me, as soon as Helena told me, like, they weren't ever planning on backdooring Marty, that to me was just like, oh, God. Like, I didn't even, it was that they were going to go after Josh. That was also upsetting. But I think the biggest thing for me was you guys had the shot to get rid of Marty and you didn't do it. Like, to me, it's like, I don't want to work with you because you know that he's a huge threat to my game, to Josh's game. Like, he's obviously, in hindsight, is obviously a threat to your game. Why wouldn't you want to take this big competitor out? Obviously, Gino later mentions to me, like, oh, I didn't want the target to be on me. Dude, you went out before Marty anyway. So it was just like, to me, it was bad gameplay. And I knew from that moment that I couldn't trust the showmans. I know now it's probably, I probably should have revisited that conversation, but here we are.
Here we are. So Marty wins the HOH. He's going to nominate you for the third time. It wouldn't be a Marty HOH without a Betty nomination. Let's be real.
Yeah, obviously.
So
Marty,
you are again the target here. Here for Marty. But you are going to pull out a veto win, and I tracked this through the season. There were some really good veto celebrations. But this was definitely up there.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's my favorite part of the season, totally.
Big veto win. I also have some funny clips of when the bugs were being poured on you. But I don't know. That might, I don't know if we should listen.
They were so gross, Karen. They were so disgusting. They were super worms, and some of the guys got bit. Like, I don't know if they showed any of that. They had like bites on their stomach areas and on their arms. Like, disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, I'll show you one of the clips.
They're in my pants! And Kevin's like evil laugh. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. You have a good laugh later on when you win the HOH and Josh is there and you're saying maybe you can even talk to Josh.
It's kind of evil, eh?
A little bit. So you win the veto. This is huge. This is really like if the previous couple of weeks were the turnaround for your strategic game, where you really started to like gain some traction and could have strategically taken hold of the game. And then it kind of falls through. This is sort of the rebound where it's like competitively now you've won a competition, a big competition. You did it just in deciding fashion here as well. Like what was it? 42 seconds.
Yeah. 100 minutes and 42 seconds.
We should actually look at that might be a record in terms of how close anybody's come in that competition.
Nice.
That's but, awesome. So you win this competition, and that's huge, not only because it keeps yourself safe, but also Summer was saved by Canada, and that means that Marty is going to have to nominate somebody from the five. The five. Which, as Kevin described, was...
This is a dumb alliance.
Dumb alliance.
That's so funny. It was a dumb alliance, but I mean, anyway, we'll keep going.
I think it was well known that like there was a decent chance that Kevin was going to be the replacement for a while, right? It was kind of just like, oh, Kevin might end up going up and that's probably going to be bad for Josh because Josh would probably go. But you know, hopefully we can get like, why wouldn't he put Gino up? He should just put Gino up.
Yeah, they actually told me it was going to be Helena and I was like shocked, but I obviously didn't really care that much. But at the same time, I was like, oh, okay, Helena will obviously get rid of Helena. But then I think that they were lying. Like, I don't know, because I don't know what Marty was thinking. I wasn't really on me and Marty weren't really on a talking level. So I didn't quite know. But yeah, that's when the gummy bears happened.
That's when the gummy bears happened. So you've watched this on the episodes now. What was it like watching it after hearing about it?
Yeah, it was like, are you serious right now? And like, he literally thought it was going to be like sportsmanship. Like, he's like, all right, everyone, bring it in. Like, obviously you saw. I was like, are you joking me? Like, I didn't know it was like that. And then he's like bringing them all in for a hug. Like, I was shook. I was obviously comical, but it was quite funny.
And then the photo shoot after.
Yeah. Five, and everyone's like kind of cringy. I was like, oh my God, this is too funny.
Oh boy. I think you found out before he went up, right? Because they told you guys about the gummy bear. Draw.
Yeah, Jace, actually, I was getting ready and she mentioned it to me in the washroom. And I was like, there's no way. Like, Marty has a low-key obsession over Gino. He's not going to put him up. Like, don't worry. And then she's like, no, dude, it's going to happen. And I was like, I'll have to see it to believe it. So then when it actually happens, I was like,
I betrayed him three times. It's not going to be a fourth.
Yeah, like, it was... But he loved him. So I was like, there's no way. And then when it happened, I remember just being so, so happy. Like, I couldn't even put it into words. I think I just like had a face, but inside I was like, this is the best thing that could ever happen for a game.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't know immediately that the votes would be there, right? But you do sort of like, you have a lot of hope that with Gino on the block, you'd have the votes. And then, I think it's what, like a day or two later that Kevin really like confirms like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. I'm definitely voting Gino out.
Yeah, Kevin actually told me the next day, but he like made me swear up and down that I wasn't going to tell anyone. And I was like, okay. He's like, I'm going to vote to keep Josh. But he told me at this point that he was swearing over like some weird things. Like he was taking it to the next level.
Swearing on his marriage.
Marty is an emotional guy and we've really bonded over being the only two married men in this house. The only issue is that I'm not actually married.
Oops.
So funny. it's still so comical to me because he would talk about his marriage like every single day. So it's like, you are such a great liar. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, so that's why I had to keep it a secret. And I was really good at keeping secrets in that house. So I was like, okay, I promise you I won't say anything. I obviously told Josh, but obviously Josh already knew. So yeah, and then I just knew that Gina was going to go. Once we knew that we had Kevin, then for sure we had Helena and then me and Summer, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. Another blind side this time for Gino. And that leads into the triple eviction where it's down to Josh and Jace, and Josh wins and it's like, wow, yes. Celebration. Yeah,
I know. I was so happy. In hindsight, I'm so embarrassed that I was so happy because I ended up going on the block anyway.
Yeah. He puts up Summer first, hoping that he won't have to put you up. But then Jace wins the veto. And that's when this was hard. I imagine this was hard to watch back. It was hard to watch it initially, the wheels falling off comment. I did like this from you.
I'm not really mad, but I'm kind of mad.
I was just going through shock in that period because I was like, why are you putting me up? Like, it makes no sense. But, you know, Josh being a liar, he was just like, oh, I have to put you up. Like, at this point, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that I was on the block, so I needed to campaign. Like, I was just running up and down like a chicken with their head cut off, being like, I've got to stay in this house. I'm not going out on a triple.
And I don't think you get enough credit for that either, because, that's a hard thing to do. Like, you're in shock, and you can tell that, I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't even remember any of that, because you were just like... are you voting for me? But like the fact, like it is so important in the middle of a triple eviction, you have such limited time to just get in there and talk to people and make sure, like, who knows what happens if Kevin and Helena have some time to talk amongst themselves a little more, like, should we really keep Betty or should we keep Summer? Right. Like, but instead, you know, you're there and they're and Helena's in the bathroom and you're talking to them and you're getting a promise from them. And now if they did want to switch, they'd have to reconcile with the fact that right before you left, they lied to you, and that's bad jury management. And so, it's huge. It's huge to be able to have those conversations, even if you are just like, a kind of like a little bit of a zombie. So that's big, but obviously not good. You're on the block. You do survive. But now you're in a position where, you need to win this HOH. And you do. And this is, again, huge win for your game.
Thank you. Good. I really needed that win because obviously there was some weird stuff going on in the house that I wasn't 100% aware of. So I just needed to secure my safety. And it was so good to be able to know that I was going into the final four and I didn't have to beg anyone. It was just like, okay, I did this and now I have a little bit of power. So let's go.
Yeah. And so from our perspective, or from my perspective, at least, I thought there was a big chance that you would, you know, regardless of the relationship, end up going, okay, clearly Josh, Kevin, and Helena are working together. I'm going to need to pull in Jace and make sure I take one of them out. Which, you know, at the same time, who knows what happens if Jace stays in the game, right? Like, I think the jury was kind of rooting for her. So if she makes it to the end, maybe it's a whole different season. But But there was definitely that possibility. And there was talk. You asked a couple of times, like, are you three working together? And that's when we got this from Kevin.
Of course, Betty's on to the three of us. She's not stupid. Of course she sees it. But let's go ahead and deny and see how it goes.
Yeah.
I did, like, I knew that there was something going on, but to me, it was just like, I don't even know what I was thinking in that moment. I was just like, I know that they're working together, but at the same time, I still wasn't threatened by Helena or Kevin. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know half of what was actually going on behind the, you know, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, I need to get Josh or JC Lynn out. Like, I can worry about Helena and Kev later. Like, that was my theory on it. Like, I know that there was something going on, but I needed to make sure I was getting rid of Jace or Josh in that moment, because I don't have a working relationship at all with JC Lynn. At this point, I'm HOH. She's going to tell me whatever the hell I want to hear. All I wanted to hear was let me know that you had the secret power of veto, and perhaps I would have put up Josh and Kev. Like, that was the only other option. It was Josh or Kev or Josh and Jace. To me, Helena was just like, it wasn't, and again, I don't discredit or devalue anyone in this game. Look at my own story. Like, you never do that. Everybody is valuable in that game. And I think that this season really shows that. But it was just like, I can worry about Helena later. It was really those three that were on my radar at all. So, like, yeah, for sure they're working together, but they're not going to admit that to me. Like, it is what it is at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. And you know, I also think that, you know, I think you could look at this as a missed opportunity, and maybe it was, you know, considering the outcome. But at the same time, you know, it's the final five. You're going to head into the final four. You can't really rely on anybody at this point. You just found out you can't rely on Josh. Certainly can't rely on Kevin and Helena. Even if you could rely on Jace, it might not be good to, because maybe she beats you in the end. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk about that. So, you know, if you're looking at it and you're like, I got to win my way there anyway, taking out Josh or Jace is not the worst idea, right? Those are the two better competitors. So I think that, like, the bigger mistake is to take out somebody who is a lesser competitor, who, like, maybe a missed opportunity, and you end up taking out a lesser competitor, versus, like, If you're gonna err on the side of, you know, like, maybe I took out the wrong person, at least you took out a big competitor, right?
Totally. That's how I saw it too. In hindsight, it probably would have been smart to take out Kevin, but then I was like, then I'm against Jace, Josh, and Helena. And to me, that was just like, knowing how important the next few comps were, I was just like, oof, I don't know.
And how do you predict that Kevin is going to be able to, like, doesn't need to win the competition? You know, like, how do you predict that he's going to be able to get into people's heads the way he did? Like, not even we saw that coming. So you put up Jace and Josh, but you do come to the realization shortly after, wait a minute, hold on. What's happening here with Kevin? This is when you say it.
I think Kevin is a much bigger problem than I thought.
So I want to know, like, what was it, like, where did it come from? Because obviously you thought this about Kevin for a long time, but what was it that really, like, kicked it into gear to be like, hold on, I need to talk to Josh about this?
Well, what happened was, I decided to take Kev to Wendy's. And when I went to Wendy's with Kev, I was just like, he was just like feeding me like a lot of stuff in my head. And I was thinking to myself, this is like, he's trying to get to me. And I'm like, he's a very smart guy. And like, I'm not downplaying, he won the game, but he was just really trying to pitch like, Josh needs to go up, we need to get rid of Josh, telling me Jace is also another threat, not pitching Helena at all. And really just making sure, like, he's trying to basically maneuver his way into my HOH, which ultimately ends up working, of course. But he was really just pushing really hard, trying to push an alliance with me in Final Five. I'm thinking to myself, is this guy being for real? Like, he wants to be in an alliance with me in Final Five? Like, it was just suspect the way he was going off about it. And, like, you know, just really telling me how hard he's going to ride for me in this game. I'm literally thinking, like, there's 10 days left in this game. What do you mean you're going to ride it out with me? Like, it just wasn't adding up. So after, and then I basically pitched to him. I was like, okay, so if you want to ride it out, let's have a final two. And he was like, I can't make any promises. Instantly, I was like, okay, it makes sense to me that what he's trying to do right now is to get into my head to basically come with an outcome that best serves him and Helena. But in that moment, I was still so angry with Josh because I was like, why is this? Josh should know better than this. Like, he's smart. Like, he should know better than this. So I left the conversation with Kevin, knowing exactly that, like, this is what Kevin does throughout all of the HOHs. He tries to get in and get all buddy-buddy with them, and he tries to influence their decisions, but it wasn't going to work with me. Like, because I could see what he was doing, and I just needed a little bit of time to process. So in that evening, I was like, because the Wendy's date happens, and then I immediately have to put people on the block. So I was like, I just need a little bit more time to think. Unfortunately, I didn't have that time. So then later that night, I barely slept. I remember I was thinking so hard about what Kevin had just tried to do. So I immediately went to Josh to tell him. In that morning, that's when we go and have that coffee. And I was like, dude, this guy is like, we need to get him out next. Like, there's absolutely no way that we can keep him in this game. Like, he literally tried to get in my brain, and he claims to be close with you, and he literally was trying to get you out. Like, he said that he wanted to vote you out this week. Like, do you not see that? I think I was able to get some traction, obviously, with Josh. So he was able to really see it through my lens. And then, yeah, it obviously didn't stick because look where we're at now. But I really did with my heart of hearts know that this guy was playing me, and it happened right at that Wendy's date, and all my feelings came back from then.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, we felt like it probably stemmed from that Wendy's date, but the Wendy's dates are not on the feed. So we had to wait until the episode to see any of what happened in it. But there were things that you were referencing from it. Particularly the thing that stood out to me was him saying that he had an alliance with Josh that for a long time. Like, that felt to me like was like a step too far in terms of giving you the pieces that you needed to really be like, wait a minute, hold on. If you've been working with Josh this whole time, hold on. Like,
he said something like, Josh is my number one guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. So once I went and filtered all that information to Josh, I felt like Josh was like, okay, now we can finally start playing this game together. But yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I haven't talked to Josh yet. And I would love to try and get more clarification on it, but it did seem like, because, you know, when you said the thing about Kevin being a bigger problem, Josh also says,
I feel very played by Kevin.
And from our perspective, we were a little confused because he knew what he was doing with Kevin the whole time, or at least that's what it felt like. But then when you're telling him this stuff about Kevin, he's like, wow, Kevin's like the mastermind. It's like, didn't you know that? Like, you, I don't. Weren't you there? Like, yeah. But I was a little confused. And it was also like, it felt like he was very genuinely upset with Kevin. But at the same time, he also like wasn't giving you the full story. Like, you were asking him, like, I'm not going to find out you've been in alliance with them the whole time. And he's like, no, of course not. We were a little bit confused about where exactly Josh stood with all of it. I do think that you genuinely flip him over to your cause. And I think I asked him this question when the two of you are together, and I think he was telling the truth, that he was planning to take you to the end at this point. It's only later that he's going to change his mind. But this is, again, like, you managed to get Josh back over to your side. But then it's too late because Helena wins the veto and leaves Josh up on the block next to Jace. And this is the saga of, I don't even know if you know how many times Kevin and Helena went back and forth on this decision, because they only ended up telling you at the end of like five flip-flops, okay, we're gonna keep Jace. And then you had to kind of get to work.
I definitely did. I had to make them believe that whatever they were deciding was on them, mm-hmm. because that was the whole thing with them. Like, they needed to feel like they were in full control and full power. So despite the fact that I knew that Josh leaving was awful for my game, I still needed to play it off like, oh, I don't care. Do what you need to do. It's still a strong competitor. But at the end of the day, I was like, because I remember Kevin telling me right before I was going to go to bed, he's like, yeah, we're getting rid of Josh. And I was like, holy shit, like, I can't believe that's happening. But I still had to be like, no problem, do what's best for your game. And then when I finally had to make points, I basically just pitched that
Jace was a bigger competitor and that they could get Josh out eventually. But ultimately, they ended up keeping Josh because Josh said he was going to throw the HOH. I didn't know that. But at the end of the day, as long as you made Kevin believe that he was in full control, I felt like you were in his good book. So I always wanted to make sure that I was making him feel that way. And clearly it kind of worked, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the interesting things about Kevin is that like he's kind of on the back foot for a lot of the game. And he plays really well from there, just sort of like you did. And then this is sort of the first time he really does have like full control. And it's kind of like, oh, what? I'm not used to actually having this many options.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So Josh stays. He ends up winning both the HOH and the veto. Mm-hmm. And he lets you know you're staying. And the last conversation we saw in the feeds was the one he had with you, where he lets you know that he's going to use the veto on you, make sure that he keeps you. He wants to bring you to the end. Little bit of a Martyism here. He's like, yeah, I betrayed you once. I'm not going to do it again.
And he gave me some crocodile tears too. He told me I'll never betray you again. That was the biggest mistake I made. And that like, just like, as you saw, I'm an emotional person. So that pulled at my strings and I was like, oh my gosh, we'll see, like we're friends first. We're never going to do this to each other. And I literally thought that that was going to be the final two that I thought he wanted to, but I was wrong.
Yeah. So I've seen some criticism, of you in this moment where people feel like you were a little too hands off about it. Like you kind of were just like, Josh, if you do choose to cut me, I understand. I'll still love you. I'll still be friends with you. That like, you know, maybe you should have been pushing a little harder. How do you feel? How do you feel about that criticism?
I feel like, you know what, in that moment, I really did think like, hey, Josh, like I know it's bad. Like I'm playing Big Brother. I'm here to win $100,000. But in that moment I was like, you know, I didn't win the veto. Like I don't know, Down and Dirty, Josh did it in 17 minutes. I did it in 40. When I left Down and Dirty, I was like, that's in the bag. Like that's mine. I'm going to win this. And like, ultimately I didn't win it. So I was like, okay, I know Josh has already made up his mind at the end of the day. He's going to do what's best for him. Like, I wanted to make sure that I was coming from a place of like, hey, like, I know that I didn't win my spot. I want you to keep me, but the decision is ultimately yours. And like, I felt like we had a good enough relationship that he would have told me in that moment what was going to happen. And in my heart, I did kind of know that he was going to keep me, but I still wanted him to also feel like he was in full control. That was a big part of my game. Like I wanted to make people feel like they had full control. And that was kind of what I was doing. And I thought that if I kind of came at it at like I'm coming at it, not as an emotional side, but like, I'm going to get to your heart a little bit more, then maybe that will help me at the end of the day. And it ended up helping me. So I do appreciate the criticism. Like, although I do appreciate it, at the end of the day, I was still playing the game. I was just trying to play it at more of like, hey, buddy, like we're friends, like you're going to take me, like I care for you. And it ended up working. So I think that I could have been more forceful, but that's what Kevin did. And it didn't end up working in his favor anyway. So.
Right. So you're taking sort of like the hard approach, the like, I'm being so nice about this. You wouldn't actually take me up on it, right?
Exactly. That's what I was doing. And it ended up working because I ended up seeing like Kevin was going hard and like promising everything and, you know, doing whatever he could to keep Helena or himself here. And it didn't end up working. So the hard approach worked.
So there you go. So you say to Josh, my gut is telling me to evict Kevin over Helena. And that's what I would do if it were my decision. But you know, you won the veto. You can make this call. And that's kind of where the feeds cut. Obviously we saw some of the rest of this in the episodes. But it seemed to me like Josh basically gave the pitch of like, hey, Helena's better at competitions. So why don't we just get rid of Helena now? It'll be easier to beat Kevin in the final three. Was that basically the reasoning?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We were thinking about comps. Like at this point, to me, Helena leaving, Kevin leaving didn't matter to me. It was like, I obviously wanted Kevin to leave because I know that he was such a sneak, but Kevin not only was performing low, like he was literally getting in like the bottom court, like the bottom of all the comps all the time. So I was like, okay, Helena's like in an upward trajectory of doing really well in these comps, especially the individual ones. So I was like, okay, who's easier to beat? And then I had this in my head, like, let's get rid of the better player. So I didn't know all of the back work that Kev was doing. I was just looking at it as Helena is literally better at competitions than Kev. Let's get rid of Helena now. We'll get rid of Kev later. Mm-hmm. That was basically it.
Yeah. And I imagine that, you know, in the back of Josh's mind as well, that he's not saying it out loud, but he's also probably thinking like, Kevin is also maybe easier to beat if I do end up there. Right.
So
then we get to the final three and we know nothing. We know nothing about what happened here. Nobody expects the end result, including, I assume, you. So tell me all about what happens after Helena leaves. What are the conversations? What's going on?
Yeah, like, so final three happens and we're basically just like here about, it felt like there was almost like a weight lifted off of everyone's shoulders. We knew like Helena's gone. One of us is going to leave. Everybody's like trying to work hard at these competitions. Me and Josh are still solid as ever. We're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're taking it to the end. Like literally we barely were talking like as much game. Cause like we both knew that like if Josh won, I said, or if I won, I was like, I'm taking you to the end. He said the exact same thing to me. We were like final two. It is what it is. So we basically, that was the most of the conversation. We were basically just like grateful to be there, having a great time, knowing that this is the end. All three of us will be leaving at the same time. To be like quite frank with you, like there wasn't much conversations other than the fact that, you know, me and Josh had basically swore up and down, promised on everything. This is it. This is the final two that we want. We're doing it. I swore that I was taking him. He did the same thing. It was basically just making sure that we beat out Kevin. I had no idea that Kevin was like putting in all this work at the end of the day. And like, you know, I haven't actually seen many conversations again. I haven't seen the last episode. Like you just mentioned, I don't think anyone saw conversations between them.
There's basically zero game footage. It's just the competitions and the ceremonies. We see nothing else. So we are completely in the dark about it. Yeah.
So I guess your guess is as good as mine when it comes to the type of conversations that they were having, because I was taking Josh at face value. Like when you swear up and down, when you tell me you're never going to betray me again, what betraying me was the worst thing you made in your game. You used the veto on me. Yeah. I may have been sitting a little bit more comfortably because I thought like I literally did not think in a million years he would do that to me again, especially in final three. Yeah, I guess your guess is as good as mine in terms of what conversations were had between Kev and Josh. But on my end, I never would have betrayed Josh like at all. I was loyal to the soil. So, yeah.
Did you have any conversations with Kevin once he won part one about like it was just Kevin versus Josh in part three to be like, you're like, who are you going to take if you win? You should take me.
Yeah, I didn't even, Kev was going to take me no matter what, because I had put into his head, like, you're going to lose no matter what. If you put Josh up next to you, you're going to lose this game. You know that Josh has more connections than you do. He's played a better game. I was just putting that out into his head constantly. And then Kev was like, okay, will you help me study? And I was like, yes. And then he was like, because it's basically alluded that if he wins, he's going to take me. So I was just helping him study as much as I could, doing like shot fire questions, things like that. So I was spending a lot more time with Kev, helping him study, knowing that he would take me to the end. So I feel like I was in a good spot with both of them. But again, I didn't know that Josh was going to do that. I just thought that I wanted Kevin to win because, yeah, I don't know.
And yeah, I think I've heard that Kevin then probably used that time he spent with you to convince Josh that he had a final two with you.
That wasn't true at all.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I did not have a final two with Kev at all. So that's like, and it's interesting to me that Josh would have believed that, because like, if we were supposed to be friends, like why wouldn't you ask me that? Cause he thought that I would lie, but like I barely lied in the game. So it's like, of course I didn't have a final two with Kev. That makes no sense.
I know. Like, the way you were talking about Kev at the end there, like, there's no way.
There's no no way I would have done that. And to me, it's like, dude, how dumb are you to think that I would have a final two with Kevin? Like, of course not, but all good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I won't make you relive the moment, but obviously Josh chooses to take Kevin. You go out to the jury. I can't imagine it was like a super great feeling when they're cheering when they see you.
Yeah, I was annoyed at that. Moose is just like that. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? He just like loves a reaction, wanted to give the best reaction. And yeah, Business B does not stand for that. So obviously I had to tell him to sit the F down. I may have needed, like, I probably should have just chilled a bit on that, but that is so disrespectful. Like, I literally just got cut in third, like walking away empty handed in this game. And you want to give me the best, like a big reaction. I don't regret anything I said.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure you've seen the episodes now, like in the jury segments, like every time any information comes out, the Hermann and Moose are like, ah! Like, so they're probably very used to doing that, but yeah. Like pick your moments, guys. So you get out there. Usually I think, you know, the person that goes out in third usually sit in those chairs, and then like sometimes you'll have a little bit of a chance to like, so what's going on, like and somebody will like whisper in your ear like, this is what's what we're doing. Did you have any conversations?
No, I was still in shock. Like, I don't know, like my whole body language, I didn't want to be there. Didn't want to talk to anyone. So I had no idea. But me being me, I promised Josh that I would vote for him no matter what. I was like, I would never in my life tell someone something and not do it. Especially if it's like something that holds so much weight, like winning a game. Mm-hmm. So I promised Josh. So I had there was no way in my mind that I was wavering from what I said I was going to do. I'm not Josh. I'm not going to lie to someone's face. So I, you know, voted for him, and then I was the only one.
Did you think that he was going to win?
Of course I did.
Like, even after the questions and everything?
Even after the questions. Like, after I heard Kevin's speech, though, I was like, wow, that was really good. And I was like, this was really, really good. He made a point of telling everyone like a little bit of his game. And, you know, I just thought that was excellent play. But at the end of the day, I just knew how much work Josh had been doing just in terms of the comp wins and everything. And to me, it was like, okay, there's a better game at play. And I thought it was Josh. But like, joke's on me. Kev obviously played the better game because he won the entire thing.
So you're seeing like the Kevin votes and every one, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, even Canada? What? I was so like, because in my mind, I always thought Kevin was the villain. And he is, of course. But like, I thought he was like, you know, like the real villain, like the villain. Mm. But it turns out Josh was actually the villain.
Yeah, Kevin was the winter baby villain.
I'm a winter baby in the winter.
That's so funny. Oh my God. That's when he was topless in the backyard, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Kev.
Oh boy. So if you had had a little more time to digest the situation, let's say that the final three happens like, you know, a week before or a few days before, and you're able to talk to the jury, you're able to digest a little bit. Would you still hold true to what you said to Josh? Or at that point you're like, okay, maybe not.
Good question. Knowing me, I probably would have still voted for Josh just because, like, you know, I think I swore up and down too that I was going to give him the vote. And to me, that just holds a little bit of weight. However, it is Big Brother. So like, if I would have known like everyone, maybe there would have been some wiggle room, but I'm going to stand firm and say, yeah, I probably would have still voted for Josh.
All right. So I'm assuming you had a chance to talk to some of the jurors. I've asked Hermann and Summer now, specifically, like, who do you think would have won if Josh had taken Betty? The answer so far has been they think it probably comes down to Canada.
Yeah.
Was that the understanding you have?
I think they're all just lying to you, honestly. There's no way in hell Helena was going to vote for me. Like, let's be real. There was absolutely no way in hell Kevin was going to vote for me either. So like, and Moose, like, I don't know. So like, they say what they say now, but I really do think it would have been in Josh's favor. Mm-hmm. Maybe there could have been a chance, but let's be real. I really don't think Helena or Kevin or Moose would have voted for me. So I think Josh still would have taken home the win. But we'll never know.
So what about if Kevin had won that final HOH and taken you, did you get a sense of where the votes would be there?
Yeah, it would have been unanimous for Kevin, for sure. Unanimous. Everyone said they would have voted for Kevin, which is cool.
Because now they're saying that they might have voted for you. So they're lying still?
Yeah, they said if it was Kevin and me, it would have been unanimous for Kevin, so... Who knows at this point, but I just know that Josh probably should have taken me if he even wanted a slight chance to win. But Kevin is good at what he does. He's good at getting in people's heads, and like that's why he won the game.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about Kevin now? Like you've seen the show, you've seen everything. You know, I feel like you've had such an up and down relationship.
I do hate you
with Kevin. Do you hate him?
No, I don't hate Kevin at all. Like, I think he's just a regular schmegular guy who, like, in his house with his girlfriend, you know, maybe he works in tech. Maybe he doesn't anymore.
Oh, yeah. You thought he was a teacher. That was so funny.
Yeah. I thought he was a drama teacher or like an English teacher or something. Like, I think he's a regular guy. Like, I have nothing against him. I'm grateful. Like, I'm glad he won. Yeah, other than that, like, I'm really indifferent to Kevin. Like, you know, maybe one day in the future, far, far future, if he ever wants to get a coffee, I'm down. Like, other than that, I wish him and his girlfriend nothing but the best, honestly.
Yeah. So what about Helena? Because the sense I've gotten from the jury so far is that she basically had no chance to win against anybody. Is that how you felt about Helena?
No, I didn't feel that way about Helena at all. Like, I wonder, the jury, like, I have no idea what goes on in the jury house, but clearly they have, like, their own opinions formed. I thought Helena, like, yeah, she was a huge liar, and of course I couldn't trust her, but she just played the game, like, and she didn't get on the block at all. I thought Helena not being on the block was actually something to be celebrated. Everybody else was like, no, she just floated and skimmed her way by, but I think if you can avoid the block for 10 weeks, like that's something worth, like, be proud of that. And like to know that she was out manipulating with Kevin, like if that was your game, like right on to you, power to you, sister. Like that's awesome. I didn't know that people had so much hate and like bitterness towards her. I really did think if I was to go up against Helena, it would have been probably a close call, but clearly not. Like it seems like there was some petty people, so it is what it is.
Yeah. And I've forgotten to ask Herman and Summer about this, but the finale made it seem like maybe it wasn't the finale, or maybe it was, it made it seem like if Jace had made it to the end that she would have had a really good chance of beating anybody. Did you get that sense? Well, how does Jace do if she makes it?
Yeah, I knew that Jace was going to go far in the game. Like if I didn't get Jace out, for sure she would have had a really great path to winning. She had Gino advocating for her in the jury house, like obviously, and she had already won 4 safeties or vetoes, whatever way you want to put it. Like I knew, I just didn't know that they had that much love for Jace, but it makes a lot of sense why they did. To answer your question, in the house, I probably thought that she had like a 70% good chance of winning. And then when I got out of the house, I knew that it was at least 95%. So it is what it is.
There you go. So season's over. You got to meet some people. How was that? How was the after party stuff?
Like meeting like past house guests?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, you know, I met like Jed and like Anthony and some other folks. So that was really cool. I didn't actually go to Niagara because I had just literally been evicted. Like all these people had all this time to like hang out and vibe and like be at the jury house. I was like, no, I need alone time. So I just caught a flight right to Edmonton after being out for one night. But I've had so much love and support from people like on the internet. So I'm like, wow, this is so cool. And I obviously love Aika Wong. Like she's my favorite player of all time. And she like wrote me. So I was like, so
she's
cool.
Great. She's great. She's so great.
So good.
Popovich, literally like my like absolute BB Ken icon. So other than that, yeah, it was cool meeting past players. But I'm just grateful to be home and just chilling.
Yeah. So what's the plan now? Just back to it?
Yeah, back to the grind. You know, I'm going to have like a social media presence, but I don't know how much more of the game I'm going to talk about. Like, you know, it will fizzle out, especially like in this next little bit. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I would obviously love to play All-Stars if like BB Ken ever does that, or like BB USA brings Canadians. Like, I think that would be so fun. I would love to play again. But other than that, no, I'm just going to live my regular schmegular life. Like, I'm just a regular boring girl, and I'm really excited to like live in Edmonton and do all these boring things.
I'm going to need the All-Star promo to start with.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
I hope they do call me so I can be Business B. Yeah.
Do you think that like, if you did go back, would you play differently? Are there like takeaways from this game that you'd go in, you know, having a new idea of how you'd play?
Totally. I probably wouldn't be so blindly loyal to one person. Like, you know what I mean? I think that was obviously my demise in this game. So like, you know, as much as I was like, oh, I don't want to meet friends, I probably should be a little more open to the idea, not friends, but idea of working with other people. Like, there's no harm in being safe in other areas. So I probably would do that and trust my gut more. Every single thing that I had called out in terms of like Kevin and like not being able to trust Helena, that all ended up being true. So like, I don't know why I didn't just continue to pursue those things. I probably should have. So that's probably what I would do. Trust my gut more and probably build a little bit more relationships with people, not just put all my eggs in one basket.
Are you going to be like invested now? Are you going to be watching like all the seasons and you know, stuff?
I probably am just going to rewatch season 5. I like some people from like, how do I say this respectfully? I know like the Pretty Boys Alliance, but I was always like, oh, why am I going to watch this? It's like just a bunch of like people dominating the game, and that's not really what I like. But some people have reached out to me that were in the Pretty Boys Alliance. So I'm like, okay, let me just give it a shot. So I might watch a couple of seasons, definitely going to rewatch season 5, definitely going to rewatch, I think it's season 7. And then obviously I'm going to watch the next season of BB USA, obviously. So yeah, maybe I'll be invested, but maybe not like, as like Kevin or anything. I'm not going to like go that hard.
Yeah. All right. Well, Betty, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about my like experience with BB Ken. It was really fun. I hope that, you know, people can see my game and hopefully be inspired to play one day. And hopefully this isn't the last that you'll see me in the BB Ken world.
Hopefully not. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I was a big fan. I loved watching you. You were on my draft team as well. I thought we had it for a second there. I thought maybe we had a shot, but that's the way things go sometimes.
Totally.
So, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks so much, Taryn. I hope you have a really good rest of your day.
All right. You too. And there you go. That was Betty. So fun to talk to. Very happy that I got to talk with Betty. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. It was such a blast. Gotta get Business B back on All Stars. I think that's the call. I think we need more Betty. We need more.
I do hate you.
People that she hates. I don't know. It was very fun talking to Betty. Of course, I've got more of these coming up. Should be talking to Kevin soon, hopefully, and we'll keep talking to more people, getting more answers and filling in all the gaps. We need to know more about what happened there at the final three, of course, but great talking to Betty. Hopefully you enjoyed it. You can find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, if you want to hang out and watch me play games and chat about things and answer questions, all kinds of fun stuff over there. You can also find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. That's what I got. Thank you so much for joining me here, and I will see all of you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.